We'll dismiss the children to Children's Church at this time with their workers. Do you know what's more dangerous than a preacher with a microphone? Two preachers with two microphones. That's even more dangerous. I want to mention just a couple things by way of introduction to Arthur to share with us this morning. He brought a chart, and we posted it on that bulletin board at the head of the stairs. He may say more about that, but it gives you a real vivid picture of their work at TM Valley, north of Bangalore. North of Bangalore. And I looked at the graph of the state, and it said 1.2 million people. But he said, no, it's 1.2 million in this little small area right around TM Valley, to give you an idea. And we knew and know that India is so densely populated. Arthur will share about, of course, his work in the city of Bangalore, and then the work at the TM Valley and the Bible school and the orphans. We have a video which he probably will want to show. Arthur is very soft-spoken. And I said, Arthur, raise that tone a bit. And he is so gentle. He really is. And he and I are brothers in Christ. We both share July 8th birthdays. The Lord really kind of, through that, bonded us together through all these years. It's kind of a strange God thing bond, and we share our hearts together. But so I can tell him, speak a little louder, Arthur, speak a little louder. Also, if you want to note in your giving in the memo some extra gift for Arthur in addition to our monthly support, we would encourage you to do that. We want to bless him with some extra blessing for his trip here. So, Arthur, if you would come and share with us about what the Lord's put on your heart. And I remind you again, we are going to set a time of ministry for praying for burdens to be lifted today. And Arthur's agreed to help and be a part of praying for those who would like to receive prayer today. Arthur.
Greetings to each one of you. In the Lord's name, and also bring greetings on behalf of the mission that I have been working for nearly 40 years now in the land of India. And we live in down south, and the Bible College is situated from Bangalore City, which is about 13.5 million people in that metro city of Bangalore. So I go to the Bible College about 153 kilometers, which would be about 100 miles each week. Before I set out to go into the depth of what we are doing to let the church know about it, I want to really at the outset and thank profusely my friend and pastor, Terry Morrison, and his dear wife, Colleen. Year by year, their treatment towards me is profoundly increasing. And the last time when I was here, he kept me in that motel by the golf course. It was so comfortable. Took me to different places to give me food. It was so kind of both of them. And you know, last night when my bag was lost somewhere in Chicago, it did not make the connection, though I made it running all the way to the other gate to catch my flight. My baggage did not make it. So we lost it, and we were waiting and waiting, did not come. So finally, we let the lady know, And you know, he kept awake and he stayed away in the night up to 2 o'clock just to help me. And I said I would have stayed with you in the night along with you, because that was my bag. But he did not want to disturb me because I have been traveling all through the day. So that speaks volumes of their generosity, kindness, and love towards a servant of God in the other hemisphere, somewhere in a country like India. So God has called us to serve in the land of India. It's been his mandatory, the Great Commission in the Bible, that he spoke to his disciples. All authority is given to me, both in heaven and upon the earth. Therefore, you go into the world and preach to every creation. Tell them all that we have, as I told you, baptize them, make them disciples and baptize them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. In total obedience to that Great Commission, and I set out to minister there. Along with me, a lot of other missionaries have been working. We were about 42 in total. We began to reach out the young people who come to our country, because India has become the hub for the international kind of software and hardware technology. At least in a year, 100,000 people come all over from Asia, Africa, and European countries. Our hands are full. I had many missionaries to work with me among the international students. We won a lot of Middle Eastern Islamic students to the Lord. They went back to their homes as secret Christians. Anonymous. Then the God gave us a vision to start a Bible college. It was a vision God given, and we did not have enough money to buy the land. It was God's providence. He led me to Oklahoma State. That's where I met a farmer. And he and me, we led a businessman, and so he was manufacturing the carpets in one of those towns in Oklahoma. We led him to the Lord one evening. So that made my friend so much excited about our ministry, and he sat in his in his truck pickup and asked me, pulled his check and said, how much you want for the Bible college? I did not have any idea as to what to ask. So I ran into my room and I took 2 minutes to kneel down and to pray and ask God to tell me. God gave me two figures, 6-4. Then I said 64. He said 6,400 or 64,000. It's up to you. He wrote 64,000 to buy the land. I went back and bought the land. Today it's about 17 acres of land by the highway, where most of these Hindu people walk by with barefoot, say about 500 to 600 kilometers up from the north all the way down to south. They go to a pilgrim place, what they call Temple Town. In a year, there will be about millions of people gather in that town to go to the seven mountains to see a man-made, a stone image of God. They call him as a God of seven hills. And they pass by just before our gates. And God gave a vision to reach those people. Just before to that, we started the home for the aged, older people who come to my church. And Sunday morning when I'm there, I always sit outside of the church, the porch there, look for the older people coming with a walking stick, walking about 2 to 3 miles just for the church worship. And I run up to the gate and receive them and bring them back to the church. And a lot of my the churchgoers, members, are 90% of the converts from the high caste and the Islamic people. So God gave a vision to go into the world, especially the villages around the TM Valley. There are about 200 villages. I have named them all on the list, but I could not, for want of space, and I could not mention all the 200 villages. But there is a speck of the little land there, which is known as the TM Valley. Around that, a kind of a cluster-like villages, about 200 of them, which would be about 1.2 million people. You know, the Bible reminds me all the time whenever I think of those 1.2 million people, because the India is about 1.3 billion people. People everywhere. And Jesus, all the time, he reminds you and me that the fields are ready and ready for harvest. They're ripened and ready to be harvested, and laborers are few. Exactly same thing happening for us back in India. We are only 36 people at the moment. We have a Bible college. There are about 34 boys and girls who come to Bible college this year. And we have graduated about 150 young men and women and went back into the world. Even some students came from the African continent, like a country like Rwanda. And we at least graduated 30 to 40 Rwandan students and sent them back into their country to work among the people. What I want to let you know is there have been older people who do not have the 3 meals a day. And I have a home for them. And even some of them would like to come. One lady who would be about 90 years old, very poverty-stricken, she's living in penury. And she came and asked me, "I will die soon, in a year or two, because my health is dwindling down. Would you baptize me?" I postponed it because of the winter time. The waters are very cold. So I said, you be ready when I get back from the U.S. And by month of March, we'll be able to baptize you. Like that, there have been hundreds of people who come to our church every Sunday. The church is full with the converts. Church is full with a lot of people from different religions. They would like to know Jesus Christ personally, and they believe and trust that Jesus is their personal Savior. And what I want to really tell you is, I have only a few people to work with us. My time is limited because I have only 20 minutes to go, and we have a video to also go along with that. So what I would like to let you know is, and all these 36 people who are working with me, they are hard-working people. They made their commitments to work with the Lord faithfully and honestly and sincerely. There is no day that would ever turn out without working for the Lord. And even when I'm there, I'm not there. There have been people working with so much commitment and cutting a covenant with the Lord to reach those millions of people. What I want as a church, we are your home missionaries and in India, and you have been our supporting saints of God at the church here. And I want to let you know that every month I need $3,500 to pay for 36 missionaries work with me. They're hardworking and laborers for the Lord. The fields are ripened and ready to harvest, and we have few people to work with us. I have only 36. If you could, as Pastor rightly said, if you could increase your giving to us, that will take us a long way in order to make more inroads into those masses of people in India. We can bring those souls into the kingdom of God. And it is said in the Bible, The man who goes all over the world and earns the whole world together, but he loses his soul, what is the profit for him? The same thing even applies in India. So I want to once again ask you, urge you to do your best. And I have not paid for September salaries yet. Already November, half month is done. And 2.5 months, and nobody has left me. They're still working. They're faithfully working because it's a God's ministry. And everybody is concerned and burdened in order to get even one soul into the kingdom of God. That goes a big way for all of us, for the mission in general. So would you kindly, I know it is said there are only two things. Go into the world, either you should go. If you cannot go, you send somebody. And we are there on your behalf to go and work for you, work for the Lord. And you send us. You send us with whatever that you want to give to us. Do it diligently, liberally, and faithfully. And God will bless. God will bless the cheerful giver. I want to before I close, you know this story. I want to take 2 minutes and close it. Would that be permitted? I'm always reminded about saints of God and their lives. Their lives proved to be very faithful in the midst of penury, poverty-stricken lives. And William Colgate, you know Colgate paste, that young man was an orphan when he was 14 years old. And he lived in a very small village somewhere in Pennsylvania. And he could not continue his schooling because there was nobody to pay for his schooling. So he decided, whatever he learned in the chemistry laboratory, in the classroom, and he picked up how to make some soap cakes. So he, with that little knowledge, and he had a little money, maybe 10 bucks or so those days, and he got into a ship, got into a boat, and the boatman was going to New York City. So boatman was a Christian, a believer, and he asked this young man, "Where are you going?" I said, "Sir, I do not have anybody. I want to make some living myself. I know how to make cakes, soap cakes. I want to make them and make a living out of that." And this man was very much taken up. He took him just free ride all the way to New York. And before he was a young boy, will be getting into the town, and he prayed with him and sent him. And he found a small little nook and corner somewhere just before the porch of any house. And he found a little place, and he got that spirit lamp and some of the chemicals. He started making the cakes. And the women passing by, they asked him, peeped into that and asked, "Hey, boy, what are you doing?" He said, "Ma'am, I'm making some soap cakes. I want to sell them and make my living." And everybody, women, they said, "We want to buy, we want to buy." So a lot of people, it came like a kind of a flow of people, particularly women. They bought these cakes. And he made first time 10 cakes, then 20, then 30. Then it increased to thousands. One time when the money was coming in, he sat, and whatever the Sunday school teacher was teaching to him about giving to God, God blesses the cheerful giver. And he said, "I set apart 10%, tithing. Then he gave 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. He went as far as 90% to give to God. Even then, he was left behind as a multimillionaire. This is a true story of William Colgate. He gave to God. God blessed him abundantly. Amen. How much more this morning, friends? Don't give it to Arthur Ross. You give to those perishing souls. Those people who are in the darkness of ignorance. And ignorance of idolatry. Worshipping any god. Worshipping any stone, any wood, any man kind of created images. Millions and millions of gods and goddesses on the land of my motherland, India. And you come forward to help us. we will do whatever the bidding that we can do in the light of the Great Commission for Jesus Christ. There have been people who are perishing in darkness. There are people who are dying, not knowing Jesus, the Savior, the light of the world. They do not know. If you walk the second mile, and we know that we'll walk along with you to reach those souls for Jesus Christ. Would that be your part this morning? Would you be the partners with us? Will you be able to share that burden and concern with us, so that we will all together as a team, on your behalf, we work there and bring those millions and millions of people who are groping in the darkness of ignorance, worshiping the idols, will come to know Jesus Christ. That will be my prayer for you this morning. And would you just give your attention once again to the video? You can see the video. That will help you, give you more a kind of a more idea as to what we are there in India. Thank you, and God bless you. Once again, I bless Pastor and his dear wife and all each one of your saints of God of this church. You have been so dear to us, and you are always in our thoughts and minds and in our prayers for each one of you. God bless you. God bless you. Could you able to hear me? My voice will just go slow. The last person. Could you hear me, sir? Thank you so much.
As we're getting that video about 6 minutes in place, I want to share a story that Arthur was going to share, and I don't think he'll mind. The persecution from the Hindus in India is growing ever stronger. Can we hold that just a second? And there was a Sunday, and because the government is pro-Hindu, many radical Hindus are persecuting Christians physically, beating them. And there was a particular Sunday when a carload of Hindu rowdies, I would say, had stopped at a church not far from Arthur's church and beat up the pastor, which was a way of intimidating that church. Arthur's church, not knowing that, had been praying for that pastor and that situation and all that was going on. And between that church and Arthur's church, the vehicle these folks were driving broke down, and they were not able to continue on. He later learned that their intent was his church and him next. And the pattern is, if you can intimidate the pastor, you put a lot of halt to the work of the gospel. So Arthur was telling me many things about the rising persecution, especially from the Hindus toward the Christians, and because the government is pro-Hindu, they don't endorse this kind of behavior, but they don't do anything about it, so they know they can get by with that. So just another little insight into the kind of conditions in which they minister and they labor. So now for the TM Valley Ministries. What you have required. Thank you, Arthur. And for the benefit and knowledge of our congregation, who probably may not be aware of every detail, we currently support this mission, and our current giving is $125 a month, along with others that we support. I understand the folks who are working on our budget are working to increase our giving to all of our foreign missionaries, so we would love to do that. And in addition, as I said, any additional gift today would be a blessing at this time. So I encourage you in that. I can't help but think when I hear and see faces, and hear stories, that only one day in the future, when we're in the presence of the Lord, will we understand that great host in Revelation of every tribe, every tongue, and every kindred. And those whose cultures are different, those whose ways are different, those whose looks are different, we will all find an unbelievable commonality in the grace of God. And how stirring that is to think about. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And again, I just want to encourage you to be prayed for today if you're carrying a burden. The Lord just really stirred that on my heart. And because we all carry those from one thing to another, and sometimes we carry them way too long. Let's stand together. And I'm going to even ask that we do something just a little different than maybe we normally do. As they're leading us in worship, Arthur, come with me. And I'm just going to ask folks to just come and kneel, because you got a burden, and this is an invitation to lay it down. And we'll kneel here before the Lord as just a symbol of we're turning it over to Him, whatever it might be. No spectacular pressure or anything else. This altar's open. I always carry a few burdens. I don't lay them down as often as I should. Arthur, when it seems appropriate, I just want you to pray for everybody who's knelt here, and I'll be first.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's risen, Jesus Christ, His Son. And now that the weak say, I am strong, let the poor say, I am because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich because of what the Lord has done. Thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's risen, Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am risen rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am risen rich because of what the Lord has done. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. You are the air I breathe. You are the air I breathe. Your holy presence living. You are my daily bread. You are my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. So desperate for you. So lost without you. Oh Lord, we need you. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. So lost without you.
I'd like to encourage us to kind of dismiss with this gentle spirit, the presence of God, to greet one another, to just encourage one another, whether it's with a smile, a handshake, a hug, or a word of encouragement, to be encouraged. We go from this place encouraged. And even if you were one who didn't come and be prayed for, that you'll lay a burden down today and not take it home with you. Yes, and Arthur will be at the table back there where you can visit with him personally, and questions that some folks have, things you'd like to know, he'll be glad to meet with you back there. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. You are dismissed.